thank you for your welcome this morning. It's not very often that I'm introduced with the words, things can only get worse. Today we're actually looking at the promises that God gave Abraham. And so it's basically chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. So it's with the barest of details that the Bible introduces one of the most significant people in history. Indeed, a central figure in the story of Israel. The Bible later describes Abraham as the father of God's people, the servant of God, and the friend of God. And in our passage this morning, we see that it was to him that God would reveal the great covenant for the salvation of humankind. But the promises are a real challenge for Abraham when we look at them closely. Firstly, he was called to an unknown destination. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. God calls Abraham to leave all that he has known and to exchange it for the unknown. He was to leave the comfort of what was familiar, his culture, his neighbours, and his family, in order to follow God. And what made it even more of a challenge was that Canaan was the centre of various pagan religious cults. He would be virtually alone in a potentially hostile environment. Now this is daunting. People who get called into Christian service as a missionary or a minister have to leave behind that which is familiar and comfortable. Wendy and I felt this when we moved to Scotland, where I became a minister at the age of 26. Can you imagine that? And Glasgow was a strange and rather exotic place after the suburbs of West London. It's also salutary that Abraham at this point was older than I am now. Abraham was 75 when he set out from Haran, 12 verse 4. So what could be an adventure for a younger person could have been really disorientating for someone of his years. And then we see that he is promised an unseen gift. I will make you a great nation. Here was a man who at that time did not have any children. His wife couldn't bear children. At least Genesis doesn't record any children until the birth of Ishmael in chapter 16. In any case, it would take generations for this promise to be fulfilled. He would never live to see it. Rather like planting trees. Sometimes we just won't live to see them really get to their mature stage. It would be his offspring, literally seed, and that's important to remember. It would be his offspring who would receive the land from God, 12 verse 7. Thirdly, he was promised an intangible reward. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, the land that God called him to go to would be extremely valuable. It was a supreme necessity for a pastoralist like Abraham. It was solid and real. But here, God's promise is something he could never touch. It would only be in the deep future that the name of Abraham would be honoured and considered a blessing by millions upon millions of people. Yet we know that Abraham set out on this quest. It's a fact of history that a nation naming Abraham as its father settled in Canaan. It was there, on and off, for hundreds of years that his people lived. Abraham took this on trust, obeyed the call, and as Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. But how far were these promises really fulfilled? Certainly physically, the small Hebrew household that set out grew and expanded and became a great people in Egypt. And then under Moses, they set out on a journey to what they believed was their promised land. But after rebellion and disbelief, it was the following generation under Joshua who took on the Canaanites and settled in this land promised to Abraham. And so the promise of nationhood and settlement for Abraham's people, Abraham's offspring, appeared to have been met. It's also true that Abraham's name was honoured by the Jewish nation, and they continued to call him blessed. But what about the promise that all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through him? How did this come to fruition? Well, a real sadness as we read the Old Testament history is that the people of Israel never really lived up to that. Derek Kidner says, this promise of blessing to the world disappears during the time of the patriarchs and the kings, and there are glimpses of it in the Psalms and the prophets. Another glimpse we have is that when the Jews were exiled after the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, they went around the Mediterranean to various other cities and they set up synagogues. And these synagogues drew some pagans, very few of them, but a few pagans who were intrigued by Jewish monotheism and moral teaching. And they became Jews, or some of them became what were later called God-fearers. So some found blessing and blessed themselves because of Abraham. But it didn't really amount to what God had promised. There was also some sporadic Jewish missionary activity, but it was criticised by Jesus in Matthew 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice the child of hell that you are. So the promise there did not seem to come to fruition. But we have to look to the New Testament to see the fulfillment of the promise. The seed. Paul writes in Galatians 3:16, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. And he's quoting Genesis 12:7, to your offspring or seed, I will give this land. Now the Apostle Paul knew perfectly well that the promise to Abraham literally referred to his descendants settling in Canaan. He was a Jew. The Jews believed that. But there was the question of how it would possibly be a blessing to the rest of the world. How could our Bronze Age antecedents, the inhabitants of the Weald, clearing the trees out of the way so they could live here, how would they have reacted to somebody coming to them and saying, you're going to be blessed because of the invasion and settlement of an obscure tribe thousands of miles away? Everyone said, well, whatever, let me chop this tree down. Paul saw that this physical settlement in Canaan couldn't exist the meaning of God's promise to the world. And he knew, like any scholar would, that seed, and he uses the Greek word sperma here, translating the Hebrew word in Genesis 12:7, he knew that that word is a collective noun. And as we shall see, Paul later uses sperma in this way. But what he's pointing out is it's appropriate to see the singular meaning of one seed to refer to one person as the fulfillment of the promise, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It was revealed to Paul by the Holy Spirit that the land which was promised and the seed which was promised, to whom it was promised, these were ultimately spiritual. In the promise to Abraham, God was revealing his plan for the salvation of the world. Now, Paul's interpretation is actually backed up by what Jesus himself said. The Lord Jesus, as the pre-existent Word of God, knew what was going on in Abraham's mind. He knew what Abraham had long foresight, that the seed was not just a future son that he would see, but someone who would appear in many hundreds of years' time. Listen to what he says to the Jewish leaders. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You're not yet 50 years old, they told him, and you have seen Abraham? Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus knew that Abraham rejoiced to see his coming. He was there. He saw Abraham. He knew what was Abraham's heart. Following the words of Derek Kidner again, the promise of blessing to the world never became a program of concerted action until the ascension. That is, until Christ told his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It was through the good news of Christ, proclaimed by his obedient disciples all around the world, that the name of Abraham is now blessed in the world, and people bless themselves through the name of Abraham, through the gospel of Christ. So to conclude, let's think about believing and receiving the promises of God. Against all hope, says Paul in Romans 4:18, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said of him, so shall your offspring be. So the salvation won by Christ is ours by faith, and we are included in the promise. In Christ, the singular seed, we are now the collective seed of Abraham. Understand this, Galatians 3:6-9, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Again, Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So even there, back there in that one little promise in Genesis 12, verse 7, we're there by faith to your seed, through the seed who is Jesus, the seed of the whole, the nations of the world. Those who believe can call themselves blessed because of Abraham. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs of all that God promised. The challenge which faced Abraham, his challenges, are similar to ours as we believe in Christ. When the writer to the Hebrews was encouraging Jewish Christians in their faith, he wrote this, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews 11:8. In the good news of Jesus Christ, we also have God's promises. God has promised to those who believe forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and life forever in the city whose architect and builder is God. And we receive these promises in exactly the same way as Abraham did, by faith. Paul writes, directly quoting from Genesis 15, verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. If we believe, we are made right with God. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. We are made right in God's eyes, as though we had never sinned, justified by faith. Not by trying to make our way to God by following rules and regulations, but by trusting all that Christ is, all that the seed is, the Son of God, his life, his death on our behalf, his rising from the dead, his ascension to sit at God's right hand, trusting in Christ the seed, makes us right with God and brings us these promises into our hearts. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, that in the darkest of times, at the very bottom of that spiral, you called a man to journey into another land. We praise you for the promises you gave him and the challenges which came with those promises. And we thank you that by his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in him, we are now right with you. We have the inheritance and the salvation that you have promised. Lord, we call ourselves blessed in the name of Abraham because of what Christ has done for us. We bless you in his name. Amen.